And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. This Sunday, as we go through the various core values of our parish, we come to the value of generosity. And it seems that this is an appropriate Sunday to discuss that particular value, that particular virtue. Traditionally, in England and in the Anglican world, this Sunday in Lent is known as Mothering Sunday. Perhaps originally so called because of the gospel, with its emphasis on the Jerusalem above, our mother, the mother of us all. But in the post-Reformation time in England, this developed as having its own particular usage. Servants were given the day off so they could all go back and visit their mothers. And they customarily picked a bouquet of flowers and took some little goodies to have, and they could spend the afternoon with mother and not having to fix Sunday dinner and do all of that they normally would be. It was a special day to acknowledge their mothers, long before our own Mother's Day, which only started in the early 20th century. And I'm sure most of the servants appreciated having at least a special day off. But appropriate, because for all of us, whatever our problems with our mothers may be, and thanks to Freud and all sorts of psychologists, we now have learned to blame everything on our parents. They're responsible for all of our ills and shortcomings, and we didn't do anything to it. And this is a very good thing until we have children of our own who decide that, and so it goes. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. I mean, Adam said, "Well, you know, you gave me that wife, and it's her fault." We tend to do that, but until we can come to terms both with our earthly and heavenly mother, we are in all sorts of trouble. Mothers are notorious for their generosity. I mean, it makes the news when somebody is stranded or in danger and strangers come to their aid. You know, we don't expect somebody to stop and try to fix an engine or stop and pull somebody from a burning car. That's unusual. But if it's a mother plunging into a burning house, trying to grab her child from a burning car, yes, we admire it, but that's what mothers do. That's what mothers do. There is this concern and this care and this giving of themselves for the good of their children. One of the powerful images in Scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is that of a mother bird gathering the children, the little chicks, under her wings so they won't be seen by some predatory bird flying over something else. All of you in the Southwest, as well as in the West, know that a little bear cub may look darling and cute, but you don't pick it up because mama bear may be near and take exception to it. And Mama bear tends to take exception in a fairly vigorous way. Okay, so much for mothers. But we should learn from that generosity. We should learn to be giving and caring people. Now, when we talk about generosity, I need to share one thing with you. As some of you know, or some of you may have guessed, I was brought up in the South. And part of the family was Baptist, part of the family was Salvation Army. Salvation Army, given to good works, and you know, you sort of were expected to help out. But in the Baptist church, at least once a year, Brother Preacher would preach his sermon on tithing. And I mean, this was a sacrament that was believed in fervently in the Baptist church. And, you know, everybody knew when he began, it was going to be a sermon on tithing, and we were going to be told 10%, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, the minute he began, everybody sort of tuned out and began thinking, you know, what's the minimum I can raise my donation, or how can I, you know, okay, he wants some more money, what, you know, and it was nobody, you know, you heard the first few lines, you knew the sermon, and you just sort of, okay, you know, been there, done that, okay, get out the checkbook, figure out, that's it. Well, a number of years ago, a very well-known Baptist preacher in Lynchburg, Virginia, got up and began the usual sermon on tithing. Announced, I'm going to preach on tithing today. And, you know, usual response, everybody in the congregation sort of sat back and, well, and he began, he said, you know, we speak of tithing our money, giving a tenth to the church, and that we should do. But that's not all we have. There are a lot of you here in the congregation who have special talents. They're carpenters, they're plumbers, they're auto mechanics, they're accountants, they're attorneys. You all have these special gifts and talents which you use. In our congregation and in the community, there are a lot of people, elderly people, who need some carpentry done around their house. Maybe the steps up to the front door are in disrepair, and they can't afford to hire somebody to do it, and they're too old to do it themselves. They have problems with their plumbing. They have maybe need something done with their automobile. They may need legal advice. They may need help with their finances and their taxes and figuring out what would be best for them in terms of a bank account. You all have these skills. You should think about giving 10% of your skill time to God and to helping your neighbor. And as of tomorrow morning, our church secretary will have a list, and she will take down the names of those of you who are willing to tithe your abilities and names of people who need the kind of help you can give. That's my sermon for today on tithing, brothers and sisters. Well, it, one, woke up the congregation. Needless to say, it wasn't the sermon they'd expected to hear. And it started a great movement among many different groups to see that the duty of the church was also to love our neighbors as ourselves. But we all have talents. We all have gifts that we can use. Yes, we should give and give money to the church. Heaven knows we need it right now. But, you know, there's a work day coming up. As I told people at the earlier congregation, I'm not much use on a work day. If you see me trying to drive a nail, you will both have pity on the nail and on my fingers. And I have trouble picking up anything that's very big. I have other things I can do. But we have, some of you have all sorts of abilities. Some of you never hear a Home Depot or Lowe's commercial that you aren't running out and thinking of something else you could do. Well, we have things here that can be done. There are lots of people around who may need help. All of you can do something. You know, sometimes it's just finding somebody that needs a kind word. Maybe when you're in line at the store and the cashier has just been, you know, harried and harassed by people, you can say something nice. You can lighten the atmosphere. I may have told you this story, but it bears repeating in this context. As you may not be aware, anybody traveling in clericals looks very suspicious to airport security people. It's almost guaranteed that we'll get pulled aside and checked out. And actually, I'm very happy with airport security to be doing its job. I have no problem. But a number of years ago, I was traveling, and it's, you know, they have a random every so many people. They just pull aside anyway. And the person who had been pulled aside by the, to be, you know, checked by the young woman security guard was just obnoxious. I mean, he was yelling and screaming, sort of stupid, I thought, you know, I have a platinum card, you shouldn't be searching me. As if, you know, terrorists always had to travel cheapy, something. but anyway, I mean, he was just nonstop abusive. And, you know, I was the next person, and I thanked her. I said, you know, she apologized. But I said, no, it's no problem. I'm glad to. But, you know, where do I need to wave my arms, et cetera? Tell me. And, you know, was pleasant about it. And as we were getting ready, you know, she had finished with me, and she said, oh, I hope you don't get seated next to that person who was just before you. He was in such a nasty mood. And I just looked at her and said, dear, don't worry. If I tell him to go to hell, it will be with authority. And that, you know, just sort of broke the tension for her, gave her a good laugh, and they theologically may have been a little shaky, but, you know, I felt that, yes, it was a joke, but it was an act of charity. She needed, you know, she had just had 10 minutes of solid abuse and screaming, and yes, sometimes it's something that simple that you can do to lighten somebody else's burden. Give a phone call to somebody that you know is homebound and has very little contact. You might even see if you could come by and just, you know, just be there. Sometimes what we need is just another human being, just there, not doing anything, but just letting us know that there are people and they are concerned. We all have talents. The problem is that we sometimes don't even recognize our talents. I know I've told you the story of the one woman in her 90s who felt she couldn't do anything to help out at the church. She was so depressed, and she said, oh, I used to do all sorts of things around the church to help, and now, you know, at 97, I just can't do anything. The only thing I do is every week I have a list of all of the people in nursing homes and shut-ins, and And I send them either a birthday card, if it's their birthday, or just a little note telling them that I'm thinking of them and praying for them. But I can't do anything around the church to help. And I thought, you know, dear, you have found your special gift at 97 of doing something around the church that nobody else is doing. Would you like another roll of stamps? You know, can I help out that way? But we all can do things. You know, the limitation is not with our abilities. It's with our will and with our imagination. Can we see the opportunities around us? Do we care? Do we care enough to look for them and to do them? In today's gospel, it's a lot of people, but only one little boy. Mommy had given him his lunch because he wanted to go see this person they'd heard about. And he realized everybody was hungry. And he came with just this little, tiny, not even enough for the 12 disciples, you know. But he offered it. I mean, Philip had already said, you know, 200 minimum daily wages, 200 days of minimum daily wages won't feed this crowd. And here's this little boy. But he gives. He gives what he has, the bread to be broken. He gives it to be taken and used. And our Lord blesses the bread and breaks it and gives it. Just as in a few days he will give his body to be broken, to be scourged, to be despised, give his body for those who did not know what they did, for all of us to come. Just as we gather today, and in the broken bread, he gives himself to us. And we pray that as the grain which was scattered is brought together in this bread, so may all of us be brought closer in one with Christ as we receive his body broken for us, his blood shed for us. The greatest of all generosity, God so loved. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and gave himself for us. And so he calls us today to receive that most precious gift of his body and blood, and to go out and spread that love, that generosity. Give ourselves in his service without stinting, even as he gave himself for us, and this day will again give himself to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.